for a limited time only on select sets of 4 in-stock tires. Offer and oil changes at participating locations. Not valid with other offers. See store for details.
The facts are shocking. 1 in 4 Utahns is obese, and the numbers are rising.
Obesity-related healthcare costs could increase by 4 times in a few short years.
It's time we all take control of our lives and our health. That's why KSL News
and Intermountain Healthcare
are teaming together to make 2013 the year when
each of us lives well and enjoys better health.
Watch for weekly features and reports from KSL News
and feel better with your life,
your health.
I'm Utah Attorney Jim Gilland, and I believe you should live your life without the threat of the IRS infecting your every thought, making you lose sleep, ruining your relationships, or your health. My mission is to know all of the ins and outs of IRS tax law and use that knowledge to help you resolve your tax problems. Not every tax issue is the same. What may seem to be a small detail can make a big difference in results. We take the time to learn about your situation so that you can get the best results possible. There's no reason that you should have to face the IRS on your own. One call, one face-to-face meeting, one decision could change everything for you. At my law office, our goal is to completely understand your IRS issues. You don't have to live in fear.
I'm Bill Gephardt, and we have investigated the way the Gillen Law Firm treats its clients. As a result, the Gillen Law Firm is Gephardt approved.
Call 801-444-9302 or go to UtahTaxAttorney.pro. We'll help you get your life back.
By the Larry H. Miller Dealerships, here's Charles Moran in the KSL Traffic Center.
Well, thank you, Dan. A good drive on Salt Lake freeways. We've had no problems on Highland Drive, the 215 East Belt, the West Belt, the South Belt, and the 21st South Freeway in good shape. No problems in Davis and Utah counties. And if you'd like to find out how the marathon could affect your traffic, go to KSL.com. There's a map on the front page. Charles Moran in the KSL Traffic Center.
Wasatch Front weekend weather. A little cool and rainy for the marathon, but that's okay. Keeps everybody cooled off and enjoying the run. Cloudy and then becoming mostly sunny by this afternoon. 55 the high, clear and 40 overnight. Sunny, mostly sunny, 63 on Sunday. 43, it's 8:05. You get the top stories every 30 minutes, breaking news the second it happens. I'm Dan Jessup, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey. It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
And good morning and welcome. I'm Maria Chaleos. I am sitting in on a rare occasion for Tim Hughes, who is in another country right now, along with Ton Bettis, who is a USU Extension horticulturist. And with us right now is Nick Mahosky from Staker Parson Landscape Center, where we are broadcasting live this morning because it is the yearly open house. And Nick, I mean, when you pull up here, you see all the piles of landscape products. Definitely the place to come in this area if you've got some work to do on your yard this week.
Yes, definitely. We've got a wide selection as well. We probably have over 40 products that we can help you choose from. And, you know, you should be able to take care of just about any landscape project that you might have, do it yourself. And so
you have some fun things for your open house. Tell us about that.
We have popcorn, hot dogs. Kids can come in and build rock animals. We're also going to do some small planting and take it home and grow something.
Mm-hmm. So the whole idea when people come out here is for you to give them an idea of what they can do in their yards, or kind of give us a kind of paint a picture for us of what people can do when they come out.
So they can take a look at all the different products and get some ideas, or, you know, we can give them basically general direction on if they have a project. We can help them along with that, make sure they get the right products for it.
Okay, and just this weekend, the open house?
This weekend only here, and then we're having another open house next weekend as well in Salt Lake.
At your other location. Yeah. Okay, give us the hours.
We're here at 8 to 3 today.
Okay. And we're going to be talking to you throughout the day. Before I let you go, though, I want to make sure people know how to get here. So give people an idea of how to get to this location.
We're on 1900 West in West Ogden, West Haven area, 2350 South. It's our south entrance after the waterfall next to the Caterpillar dealer.
Okay, Nick, thanks for having us here this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
And again, you're listening to the KSL Greenhouse. I am Maria Chaleos in for Tim Hughes today. Anton Bettis, it's a little bit chilly, so people can't plant a whole lot of things. They can definitely plant their perennials right now and take care of the fruit trees.
Yes, and that's something I would like to talk about a little bit throughout the day today. But to lead off, I wanted to mention a few perennials out there. I was wandering around here at the Staker Parsons facility, other yards along the Wasatch Front. I've noticed three or four different perennials out that are in bloom right now that you can actually purchase at the garden centers that can really dress up the yard. One of them is a white-blooming perennial called Rockcress that... There's also really pink and purple versions of this too, but it adds really nice spring color. But the reason I really like the Rockcress is because they're extremely drought tolerant once you get them established. So a little bit of bark mulch or rock mulch around the bottom of them, and you may only need to water every 3 to 4 weeks for them to keep them going.
Wow.
So there's some nice ones. And you need to make sure that there is some soil moisture there. And if you have a really well-drained soil, it might be every few weeks. But they are extremely nice perennials. Another one that's extremely common, and I guess it's the stereotypical spring perennials, the phlox, the creeping phlox. Pinks, purples, whites on it, too. And as it cascades down rocks and things, very spectacular. It looks a lot like the rock crest, and you can use them interchangeably sometimes. But that one's extremely nice. One that I want to focus on a little more is called Leopard's Bane.
Okay, I don't think I have that
one. Yeah, Leopard's Bane is one that I've seen in the market, and it's available. But it's a very bright yellow daisy that blooms in the spring, and the daisies usually don't come out now, but the other thing that's great about it is it's shade tolerant.
Okay.
And so it's one of the few shade blooming, really brilliant blooming perennials that you can get in the shade in the spring. And it'll last for 4 or 5 years at least in your yard, but as you drive around, every once in a while you'll see these really bright yellow daisies, and that's your Leopard's Bane. And it's hardy along here on the Wasatch Front, but for those that are listening, I know that every once in a while we'll have calls from Evanston, Idaho Falls, and maybe even the Twin Falls. It's perfectly happy in all of those areas.
Okay, something I noticed you said is you said it'll last 4 or 5 years. When I think of a perennial, I've had perennials for the 20 years I've lived in
yes,
my home.
Yes, in a botanical sense, all that perennial means is it lives longer than 3 years. And so we assume 20, 40, 50 years, but a lot of those perennials out there, you know, their lifespan's 3, 5, 7 years, and then they're done. And it just depends on the species. So one of the advantages to using these shorter-lived perennials, if you have areas in the yard that you've planted trees and shrubs that will fill in, but they look a little bit barren, you can put a perennial in that'll last 3, 4, or 5 years, and it'll die out when those shrubs are filled in, and you don't have a problem of trying to move it.
Right. You know, a lot of people have beautiful tulips almost ready to bloom, and a lot of the other bulbs are already blooming. And I've often wondered this. You always see things advertised to feed your tulip bulbs. Is it really necessary to feed those bulbs, or is it actually beneficial to do so?
Well, if the tulips are healthy, they're blooming nicely, there's probably no reason to fertilize. Just one of those, if you're healthy, you know, if it's not broken, don't fix it. You know, if the tulips, if you know that they're spaced correctly, they're healthy bulbs, and they're just not performing well, then it may be worth putting down just a general complete fertilizer like 16, 16, 16 to see if you can pull them through and see if that remedies the problem. On those bulbs, you know, right now they're really gorgeous, and we sometimes get calls on if we should... you know, plant now, or if we can plant tulips and things now, but those are actually a late summer fall planted item that look beautiful now, so they actually take some fall prep to get going.
They take that cold to actually bloom, right?
Yes, they do. They require that, what's called winter vernalization, but they basically need to get cold for a few months before they'll blossom.
And then how, I mean, I have just a ton. How beneficial is it to actually thin those out?
You want to wait until they are dormant, and so those leaves will die back. And I like to leave them in place, not cut them back, so I know where they're at, so I'm not guessing. And then once those leaves have died back to the yellow and brown, I'll go ahead and lift them and then pull the leaves off, clean the bulbs up a bit if I need to, pull all the healthy ones out. and then space them about every 4 to 6 inches, depending on the size of the bulbs. And that will give you about 3 or 4 years before you have to divide them again.
Okay. The number to call if you would like to be a part of the program, 575-8255. In Utah County, it's 470-5751. And in Weber Davis County's 670-5751. Did we hit all of your perennials that you
we
wanted
did.
To talk about?
That's great.
Because there are so many beautiful perennials to plant throughout the year.
Yes, and I wish we could just take a whole program and just list perennial after perennial, but I think that people's eyes would glaze over.
Honestly, I think the problem with perennials, too, people will get so excited about planting in the spring. I know I have this problem still in my yard after 20 years, that I have a lot of spring bloomers, mm-hmm. but then I'm really lacking when it comes to summer blooming plants.
Yes, when I teach annuals and perennials, and I just taught up in Cache County the other night, one of my main talking points in that presentation is that perennials are seasonal, and that to get a complete selection on your perennials, you do need to visit the garden center 4, 5, 6 times throughout the growing season to get spring, summer, late summer, and fall blooming perennials. And if you go shop now, then you're going to have a spectacular yard until about mid-June, and then nothing.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a call now. This one is coming from Carrie in South Jordan. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning. I just have a question about preparing my garden. Every fall, I till in a layer of locust tree leaves about 3 inches thick. And last fall, I missed doing it. My leaves are still in bags. Does it make sense to till those leaves in just before planting, or should I just wait until fall to do it again?
If you have time, you could do it now. The caveat with that is that you need to make sure that you can actually work those leaves into the soil without damaging the soil. So if the soil is too wet, don't till, because you'll just make big dirt clods. So you need to have it moderately dry, but enough moisture in there to get it so it's workable. And then you could put those leaves in and till them in. And the locust leaves are so small that they decompose relatively quickly. So if you gave them 3 or 4 weeks, then you could totally plant and be just fine.
Okay, the dirt's very fine right now and easily workable. I just tilled it. If I do put the leaves in now, what do I do about fertilizer compared to the last normal fertilizer?
To break those down a little bit more quickly, you could go in with just some inexpensive nitrogen fertilizer and spread it just about like you would on your lawn, and that would get those broken down. But again, those locust leaves are so small that they will break down relatively quickly, and it's not like you're mixing oak leaves or, you know, maple leaves in. So,
okay, that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your call. You know, a lot of people getting their gardens ready right now. And for me, flower gardens are really a, I don't want to say a problem, but a challenge, because it's hard to do a lot with my soil when I have so many different things planted. I mean, I just can't go in and turn the soil and add nutrients. And so what do you suggest?
In those situations, I suggest putting down maybe a half inch to an inch of mulch and just lightly raking it in. And then once you get that raked in, you can cover it with bark mulch, and soil microorganisms will do the job from there, so you don't have to get it 6 inches deep because that will damage the roots.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little slower, but the microorganisms in the soil will break it down, and it'll work its way
in. Okay. What about for those people who are getting their vegetable gardens ready because they want to start planting, even though it's a little too cool right now? What should they be doing in a vegetable garden where there are no things planted?
Well, the cool season crops can go in now. It's time for radishes and peas and a few other things. But especially if you're prepping for the warm season crops, the tomatoes, peppers, corn, squash, if you need to till in mulch or compost, do it now, not when you're going to plant, for a few reasons. Every once in a while, no matter how hard companies try, the compost might just be a bit salty. And so if you till it in now, we'll get natural rain, and you can irrigate a little bit maybe to flush potential salts through the soil, and then you give that mulch an opportunity to start to break down. And so it's always better to give the garden time to cure a little bit once you put that compost in, because if you put it in when you plant, then you oftentimes run into problems with either nitrogen deficiencies or other things. And one thing that's key is that compost is not soil. You do not plant in compost. It needs to be worked into the soil because it's an amendment.
And it's an easy mistake to make,
it is.
Isn't it?
It is.
I know by the way you say, and remember, because you've had people do this, right?
Yes, very often, and it's unfortunate, but it is a common mistake.
The numbers to call if you'd like to be part of the program, 575-8255, 470-5751 in Utah County, and 670-5751 in Weber and Davis counties. We're going to be right back, and Philip, your call coming up next.
One day, I'll teach chemistry to kids.
I'm going to be an architect.
My dream is to be a chef.
This is a world of possibilities. A world in which people who put their minds to something can really make a difference.
My goal is to help the environment.
Someday I'll find a cure for cancer.
At the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Federal Student Aid, we believe that aspiring minds can achieve anything. So we dedicate ourselves to making sure everyone has an opportunity to go to college. Each year, we provide more than $150 billion in grants, loans, and work-study funds, making higher education possible for anyone at any stage of life.
I can go back to college.
I can change careers.
I can make a difference.
Federal Student Aid, proud sponsor of the American Mind. Learn more about money for college at studentaid.gov.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Almost 8,600 plants? Now that's a selection. At Red Butte Garden, their annual plant sale serves as a garden fundraiser. And with almost 8,600 plants ready for sale, you will find what you're looking for. Vegetables and heirlooms, roses, perennials, natives, and shrubs. This selection and plant experts will help you get garden ready. Join the annual Spring Plant Sale for garden members only, Friday, May 3rd from 1 to 8 p.m. Not a member? You can join before you shop. Or stop by the next day, May 4th from 9 to 3. That's the time for the public to enjoy the choices. Trust this, it will be a spring sale to remember. That's the Red Butte Garden Annual Plant Sale, May 3rd and 4th in Cottoms Grove, near the Red Butte Garden Amphitheater. This is the only venue of its type, so make time to support them. Visit redbuttegarden.org for more information. redbuttegarden.org.
Sell Greenhouse with your questions. We're at KSL Talk. That's 575-8255. And it's only on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, Maria Chaleo sitting in today for Tim Hughes, along with Ton Bettis, and we are at the open house for Staker Parson Landscape Center. This is their annual open house because they want to show you all the cool things they have out here. Shannon is joining us right now, and Shannon, tell people what they can get out here today. What kinds of products can they come out and see? Because I see piles and piles of products.
Oh, yeah. We have so much here. We are going to have so much fun today that we have lots of different products for all your landscaping needs. We have anything from playground materials to xeriscaping to different topsoils and barks. And it's going to be lots of fun today. Bring the kids. We have hot dogs, and we're going to make rock creatures and plant some seeds and drinks. And we hope the weather doesn't hold you back because we're excited to see you guys all here today.
Okay, I can tell you they're blowing up a lot of balloons. So Shannon's out of breath because she's been blowing up balloons out here to make sure that it's fun for you and your family. And this is a great time to do things like get your kids' playground ready and get those landscape products down.
Absolutely. We have so many different products, lots of different materials that we'd love for you guys to come out and see.
And you're going to be out here till 3 o'clock?
We're here till 3, and we want everybody to come out, breathe the kids, and it's going to be so much fun.
And easy to find off of 1900 West.
Absolutely. Just turn in, just head east right by the big rock waterfall. We're just in between the waterfall and Cat Wheeler. Just turn in, head east, and there's lots of signs that will direct you right here to us.
Okay, I should tell people, south of the waterfall, don't be like me and go a little bit too far north and pull into the main parking lot.
Absolutely.
Right? It's a street on the side to come back, all the way back here.
Yep.
Perfect, and thanks for having us here today.
Thanks for coming.
And again, this is the KSL Greenhouse and the open house at Staker Parson Landscape Center. And Tom, let's take our next, we haven't talked much about lawns today, and we have a caller on the line. Philip is on the line right now, and Philip wants to talk about night crawlers. Hi, Philip.
Good morning, ma'am and sir.
Good morning.
I walk across my front lawn, and I have little bumps in it, I assume are night crawlers. It really got bad this year. It started last fall, and this spring it's really bad.
Some of that could actually be frost heaving. I know that when I walked in my lawn, I'm in Cache County, so we get a few more, you know, deeper freezes and things, but I was amazed at how smooth my lawn is during the summer. But I walked out there, and I was dumb and went out there with bare feet to get some firewood in December, and it was like landmines out there. And so I suspect that some of that could be from frost heaving, and it'll work its way on its own just a little bit more smoothly. But the night crawlers, with the rain and the snow and things, they're active right now, but with so much moisture, they're near the surface of the soil because they need oxygen. They're animals, they need to breathe. And so oftentimes during this time of the year, you'll see them. Now, there are no legal products out there that will kill night crawlers or worms, so I can't make any recommendations on that end. If you are having problems, some things to check are, one, your soil compaction. You know, if you were to dig a hole in the soil and fill it with water, how long would it take to drain out, you know, if it's a foot deep?
Okay.
You know, look at that, because if it's not going to drain within a couple hours, that could be why those night crawlers are on the surface. Another one is if you have heavy clay soil, which a lot of areas of the Wasatch Front do, you may need to aerate more often, at least once a year, maybe even twice a year, to keep that compaction down a little bit. And then last case scenario, but if you have to, you can get a power rake and then set it just at the height you need to knock those mounds down, stir that soil up that way. But look at those things and see over time if you can remedy the situation.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
You're welcome. You have
too.
A great day.
Let's take a call from Mark in Salt Lake City. And good morning, Mark.
Hi, I bought some tomato plants from J&J Nursery. There's sale up there. And the problem I have is that what I'd like to do is just keep them in my house at night, and then in the morning when I leave for work at 5 o'clock in the morning, put them out. But I'm wondering if it's, they said below 45 degrees, if it's as cold as it's been this past week, would it hurt it for a few hours?
A few hours of 45 probably wouldn't do much damage, but I would not go much colder than that. In those greenhouses, those tomatoes have been hardened to about that temperature. The, you know, if we're going to be in the mid-60s during the day and it's sunny, get those things out, even in the 70s. You know, heaven forbid we get up that warm, but they should be fine. But if it's going to be 45 all day long, 50 and cloudy, you may as well just put them by a bright window somewhere and leave them there, because they'd be better off with a little bit warmer temperatures.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mark. And Mark's doing what I'm going to do right after I get off here, because J&J is on my way home. Now, can people actually... Is it too early to plant this in my garden and use the walls of water or some of those other things?
With walls of water, it's not too early, but just to put those out there, they will most likely just sit if they don't freeze until it gets warm. And because the tomatoes want a minimum of 70 degrees during the day and around 45, 50 at night, and the soil temperatures have to be up beyond what they are. And so those walls of water warm the soil up, they warm the plants up, and you can get some good growth out of the tomatoes.
Yeah, sometimes you get a really good start that way when your season's just not nice enough to plant. Would I be better off leaving them in the garage for another week and then planting them? Or?
No, I checked the weather, and we're supposed to have some sun. And as what thing you could consider is maybe putting those walls of water out a little early. And I know they're...
Letting them warm up.
Letting them warm up, let the soil warm up, and then put the tomatoes in after they've warmed the soil for a few days.
Okay. Okay, there are so many new products out there that you can use that
are
just like that. And just don't let the walls collapse on your tomato plants. That's a very bad thing. Okay, let's take a call now from Michelle and Sandy. Hi, Michelle. What can we help you with this morning? Go ahead, Michelle. Michelle, are you there?
Oh, I'm here. I couldn't hear a thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Michelle, go ahead. What can we help you with?
I have three quick questions. One is, last October or November, I don't remember, I planted like 8 planters full of bulbs. None of them have come up except one, which has come up about 3 inches, and then it stopped. What did I do wrong?
What kind of bulbs did you plant?
Michelle, can you hear us? What kind of bulbs did you plant in there?
I planted tulips, hyacinths, and daffodils.
And then where did
and
you keep...
something else that I can't remember.
Okay.
But
where did you keep the planters over the winter?
Yeah, I planted them in potting soil, so I wondered if that's the problem.
Were they in your house or outside or in a garage?
Oh, you know what? I have a really bad connection. I can't hear anything, so... Why don't you up and go listen to the radio?
That would be great. You go listen to the radio, and I'll ask all those questions for you. Because, Tawn, I know I had this problem 1 year, and I wanted to plant my planters on the deck, and I wanted to put bulbs in there. But I'm thinking that my soil wasn't deep enough, and maybe they either froze or they didn't get enough water. What do you think is happening?
Well, a lot of those bulbs, if they were outside and they weren't deep enough, they may have just very well froze because they need to be anywhere from 3 to 6 inches under the soil, and then they need another 6 inches for roots. And so you actually
need a big pot.
You need a big pot. You can't just get a 6-inch pot and expect those bulbs to take. So they very well could have frozen. The other thing I see quite commonly is that people will plant the bulbs and not get them cold enough. You know, you don't want to freeze them because under that soil, I oftentimes don't freeze, or if they get there, it's not any colder than 32 because the soil in the ground, they're protected, but in a pot where they're above ground, that potting soil they're in can get awfully cold and that can kill them. And so it's usually they either froze or a lack of cold that caused them not to bloom. And if you have some coming up,
So it sounds like some people might try to start these in their house and then move them out and they don't get cold enough.
They don't. And so they... One thing that I've always recommended with the bulbs is if you want to do them in the baskets or in your pots, go ahead and put them outside, but you might need to surround the pots with soil or bark mulch or something to insulate those a little bit. Or you can put the bulbs in your refrigerator, and what you could do is put them in a paper bag or a plastic bag, and you don't want them to dry out completely, and just keep them in there for 6 to 12 weeks, depending on the bulb, and you'll see that as soon as they start to shoot a little bit of root out, plant them in the soil then and let your refrigerator do the cold period for you.
But when you say don't let them dry out completely, how do you water them when they're in the freezer?
Well, they're going to be in the fridge.
So that's going to... Oh, in the fridge,
yes,
not the freezer.
The
big
fridge,
difference.
And the humidity is fairly high in there.
Okay. Do you have a recommendation for people who are going to plant them directly outside in pots, how deep or how big that pot really needs to be successful?
Follow the planting instructions on the little tag you get, depending on the bulbs, whether they're
hyacinths. Read the directions?
Read the directions, and then make sure that you have at least 6 inches under that for those roots to push into.
Yeah, it makes, and then you do need to water them, though.
You do. And then the soil needs to be kept moist, preferably to the consistency of a wrung-out sponge.
Okay. The number to call, 575-8255, if you're calling us from Salt Lake City. From Utah County, 470-5751. Weber and Davis County, 670-5751. We are coming to you today from the open house at Staker Parson Landscape Center. This is 2350 South 19th West in West Haven. Hope you'll come out and join us.
Old MacDonald had some ground with Nutra-Nutra-Mulch, and in that ground he plants some seeds with Nutra-Nutra-Mulch. With a strong plant here and a strong plant there a plant, there a plant, everywhere a strong plant. Now Old MacDonald has a farm with Nutra-Nutra-Mulch. Nutra-Mulch is available at all independent nurseries, hardware garden centers, the Home Depot, and at IFA Country Stores. See Nutramulch.com. Let's talk turkey. Premium turkey manure compost from Nutrimulch. Putting Nutrimulch in your ground before planting assures that you have a nutrient-rich and plant-friendly medium in which to produce the finest crops, flowers, and shrubs. Using lesser compost cheats your plants and hurts production. So this year, don't chicken out and use inferior products. You could end up with just a load of bull. Always use Nutrimulch before you plant. Nutrimulch is available at all independent nurseries, hardware garden centers, the Home Depot, and at IFA Country Stores. See Nutrimulch.com.
Good morning. It's 8:32 in the KSL 24-hour newsroom. I'm Dan Jessup. KSL's top local story. It's it's kind of a cool, cloudy day, but a great mood at the Salt Lake City Marathon now that the runners know the suspect in the Boston attacks is in custody. KSL News Radio's Peter Seymour reports along the route. Peter?
Well, Dan, those runners, like you said, are happier, they're more relieved, and they're also well past Sugar House Park and heading northwest along the Van Wrinkle Expressway. They're hurrying along on their way to 13th East and making a few more juts east and west and back and forth before they head due north. KSL news specialists along the parts of the marathon route are telling me that the streets behind them are opening up, and they've seen no incidents that police have had to deal with. Everyone just wants to run today, especially in honor of the Bostonians hurt or killed by the blast there on Monday. And if some dangerous threat won't stop them, unlikely it may be, this rain won't stop them either. Live, Peter Seymour, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national story this hour from ABC. Politicians on both sides of the political aisle have a message for America's enemies. President Obama said in his address last night, people who carried out the attack on the Boston Marathon failed to get done whatever they hoped to achieve. And Republican Senator Tom Scott of South Carolina says they can run, but they cannot hide.
There is no corner on earth, no hiding place in America that will keep us from finding you.
Trolley Square has new owners today who say they hope to return the shopping mall to its former glory.
It needs a lot of help. As I said, back in the days when the economy wasn't good, this thing didn't quite perform as well as it should have. And at one time, it was probably jewel of the Salt Lake. I mean, all the best stores were here.
SK Hart Properties CEO Khosrow Semnani says his companies closed on the deal to buy the shopping mall. In recent years, several tenants have either left or closed, but existing tenants have blamed much of that on management, not necessarily on the downturn in the economy. Coming up on KSL News Radio, rain now. How about sunny for the award ceremony? Well, we'll check your forecast coming up. KSL News Time, 8:35.
Celebrate Earth Day on April 22nd as Dave's Bernina joins the Bernina Company and millions of people worldwide in helping preserve a clean and healthy environment. During April 18th through the 22nd, Dave's Bernina in St. George and Provo will be offering 4 years no-interest financing on select Bernina models until 2017. See store for details.
Dave's Bernina, serving Utah County since 1960. Father and sons, a family business. Let's ask Richard Borgett more about it.
We service all brands. Any machine that you're frustrated with and you feel like used to work great but it's just not the same anymore, then bring it in and we'll help you. I think it's time to come look at a Bernina. See how sewing can be fun again.
Free classes and a warranty with every new and used Bernina purchase.
Hey, Bernina.
268 West Center Street in Provo
and at the corner of 7th East and St. George Boulevard. Check us out at Twitter, Facebook, and davesbernina.com.
We used to think all lung cancer was the same.
Now we know that each tumor may have a different genetic makeup.
Several different molecular types of lung cancer have been identified.
By performing molecular testing on a lung cancer tumor,
doctors can try to determine what's causing the cancer to grow.
It's a different way of looking at lung cancer.
Because lung cancer can affect anyone.
The young or old.
Smokers or non-smokers.
You or me.
Knowing the molecular profile of my tumor helped determine my treatment options.
Anyone can get lung cancer. And not all lung cancers are the same. Talk to your doctor to see if molecular testing is appropriate for you. Visit lungcancerprofiles.com to learn more. That's lungcancerprofiles.com. A public service of 6 leading lung cancer advocacy groups.
You two must be proud of Johnny.
Oh, we sure are.
Yeah, he's a great kid.
So he's got a job at the dealership, right?
No.
Yes, he did.
Oh, right, the dealership. You know, he just started there and...
Actually, it's been about 6 weeks.
Has it been that long?
And what's he doing there?
Well, he does a bit of, Helen...
Detailing.
Yeah, right, detailing. Gotta have a beautiful car if you're gonna sell it, you know?
He just loves it. He really does.
Actually, Tom, he hates washing cars. He just thinks it's a good opportunity to let the boss see he's a hard worker so we can move into sales.
But he's happy doing what he does. You know, that's my Johnny. He pushes through that. He's a forward thinker.
And he graduates next year, right?
Oh, no. He's still...
Yes, he does, Tom.
Oh, Johnny? Sure, Johnny graduates next year. I thought you were talking about...
Who, Tom?
Need to get closer to your family?
So, Larry, you've got kids? Let's talk about them.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by the Larry H. Miller Dealerships. Here's Charles Moran in the KSL Traffic Center.
Well, I'm not seeing any problems on the freeways. Good drive this Saturday morning up and down the Wasatch Front, the I-15 corridor in great shape. If you want to see how the marathon can affect your drive on the east side of the Salt Lake Valley, you can download the map that's on our front page at KSL.com. Use Oakdale Egg Farms Organic Compost, the official compost of Thanksgiving Point, to improve your soil. Available at IFA Country Stores, J&J, J&L Garden Centers. For a complete list, visit Oakdale.com. Charles Moran in the KSL Traffic Center.
And yeah, we have a wet day, but we have a great day along the Wasatch Front. And daytime high forecast to be about 55 with some sunshine later once the rain clears out. Clear tonight, 40. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 63. 42 degrees at 8:38. I'm Dan Jessup, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM, Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Get help with annuals, container planting, and the greenest grass on the block. The KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. The Greenhouse Show coming to you live today from an open house at Staker Parson Landscape Center. This is at 2350 South, 1900 West in West Haven. Fun things for the kids today, and you can come out and see all the products and have some hot dogs. So come join us and see all the great things here at Staker Parsons. Ton Bettis, along with Maria Chaleos, doing the Greenhouse Show today. And Ton, we've been talking about fruit trees, problems with fruit trees, and let's take Bon in Grantsville. And Bon, tell us what we can do to help you.
Hi, I'm worried about my little peach and plum trees. They have some gumminess at the base of most of the twigs.
How long have the trees been in?
Well, the peach trees, about 3 years, and the plum tree, this is its second year.
And so are they gummy at the branch tips, or where the branches more meet the trunk?
At the base of the little twigs, yeah, at the base.
At the base of them. Mm-hmm. You may have some frost damage. What city are you in?
Grantsville.
So out toward Tooele. I've noticed that a lot of fruit trees, I was at my sister-in-law's over in Saratoga looking at her fruit trees, and they had a lot of gumming and things on there, and if it's every branch, it could be a sign of just cold damage, and it may have happened a few years ago or this year, and so it's really hard to tell on that. The other thing you need to look at, and I don't think it's this, but it would be worth downloading a fact sheet on what's called shot hole fungus. And so if you will search Google or Yahoo for Utah State University and shot hole fungus, it'll bring up a fact sheet that you can read through and compare the pictures. Make sure it's not that, because if it is, you're going to need to treat.
I see.
But if it's weather damage, there's nothing you can do but be patient and see what the tree does.
Right. I was worried that it might be borers of some sort.
No, the borers they don't damage the tree in that pattern. The peach tree borer will get in toward the base of the trunk and the greater limbs, and if the tree's only 3 years old, it may not even be old enough that peach tree borer would get in there. There's another one called peach twig borer that will get into the tips in the first of the year and then later the fruit, but what you would see a month to 6 weeks after the tree leaves out, you would see what's called flagging, or a lot of the leaf tips would just bend over in a shepherd's crook fashion, and you'd just all of a sudden have all these wilted leaf tips, and so it's not really indicative of the pattern of that one either.
So that would be a leaf tip problem,
It'd be a branch tip problem and not something where at the branch intersections.
I see. Okay, great. I have a quick other question. Have you ever used the product Casseron?
Casseron. It can be a soil sterilant or a pre-emergent, depending on the rate that it's put down. What are you trying to use it for?
Raspberries.
And I know that the raspberries are on the label. Follow the label exactly, because the Casseron, you don't want to over-apply. I have not personally used it, but I worked with a lady that used it for years and loved it. And so as long as you follow the label, you should be safe on your raspberries.
It did say to apply before the new emerging plant, you know, in the spring, or I guess in the spring, before the new sprouts were starting to come up, and it seems like I had sprouts as soon as the snow melted, so I didn't dare put any down.
You may avoid putting it down then. If you're supposed to put it down when they're completely dormant and they're shooting sprouts, that's off-label, and so I'd be a little careful of that.
Okay, great.
You still, once they grow up a little bit, you still probably could get some preen or another product in there.
Use a different product.
Yes, but make sure it's labeled.
Yes, of course. Okay, great. Thank you for your help.
Good luck.
Right. Thank you. Let's squeeze in one more call before the break here, and let's speak with Elaine, who's in Brigham City. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning. A little while back on the show, you were talking to a fellow about he put leaves down and then mulched them under, and you told him it was okay, or tilled them under. Okay, over the winter, I have shredded all my black print papers, and I wanted to... I haven't put them down yet, but I wanted to spread them over my garden area and till them in. Do I treat it the same way as you told him?
You would. Make sure that they're shredded well, and I would not put down more than about an inch of them, just because that paper is a lot harder. Well, it's not harder. It just takes longer for the soil microorganisms to break down, and it binds nitrogen in the soil. So if you put them down, don't do more than an inch. Incorporate them into the soil, and then do put some form of nitrogen down to help break them down more quickly.
Okay, nitrogen. Okay, can I, it's raining out here now, can I go ahead and just spread them thinly now and let the rain adhere them to the soil, and then as soon as it dries out, then till them under?
That would be fine.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. We're coming to you live from the open house of Staker Parson Landscape Center. We are in West Haven, 2350 South and 19th West. And joining us right now is Lindsay Peterson. She's the materials dispatch manager. And Lindsay, go ahead and describe for people the kinds of products that you have.
Well, we carry all kinds of products. We've got all kinds of rock, mulch, playground sand, playground chips. A new product we're carrying is our box garden mix. It's great for gardens, flower pots, all kinds of soil, topsoil, topsoil plus.
Everything they need to get ready to plant right away.
Yep.
The one thing I really noticed when I came into the yard here is the beautiful colors of the products and how vibrant they are. You can get just about any color now.
Yeah. Yes. We have all different varieties of colors. You name it, we probably have it or can find it for you.
So how does it work as the dispatch manager? Do people come in and just take the product with them, or do you deliver it to their homes? How does that work?
Yep. We're here, this landscape center right here, this is our call center. So all of our dispatching comes right through here. We deliver down to 1 yard loads. Whatever you need, we can get it out for you.
Now, if people are hungry, they can come down and have hot dogs
you
today.
Bet.
Lots of fun things for the kids. Describe what's going on for the open house.
So we have, like she mentioned, we've got hot dogs, drinks. For the kids, we're doing rock dolls. The sandbox trailer is out here. Balloons. The kids can plant a little flower or vegetable with some of our soil. Check it out. Just come down and see all of our products and let the kids have some fun.
All right. Thanks so much for having us here today.
You bet. Thank you.
And again, this is the Greenhouse Show coming to you live from Staker Parson Landscape Center in West Haven. We're going to take a quick break and catch up on the traffic and weather with the Salt Lake Marathon, and we'll be right back.
A neglected, spoiled girl. Sickness and tragedy. A little magic and renewed family love will be revealed in Centerpoint Theater's production of The Secret Garden, April 22nd through May 18th. The tale begins with an orphan, Mary Lennox, who was grief-stricken by the loss of her wealthy parents and is sent away to England to a family estate. Lonely Mary happens onto a secret garden where she learns kindness, compassion, and friendship.
Hey, oh. Hello there, Mary.
Hello.
out?
The Secret Garden, April 22nd through May 18th, will delight audiences with some of Broadway's most beautiful music.
All that garden needs is for us to come wake it up.
And is sure to be a treat for children and grown-ups alike.
Matchmaker, matchmaker.
For more information on Centerpoint Legacy Theater's season lineup, including Fiddler on the Roof, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, Into the Woods, and The Secret Garden, visit centerpointtheater.org. Centerpoint Legacy Theater. Broadway magic, Utah style.
Who would you have die in a car crash?
Your neighbor?
Your friend? Your brother or sister?
Your spouse?
Your child? Fact is, any death on Utah's roads is one death too many.
That's why KSL News has teamed up
with UDOT's Zero Fatalities program
to drive home information that you need
to help you,
your friends, your family
come home safely every time.
Join us
on the road to zero fatalities.
Only from KSL News.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Traffic and weather together, sponsored by the Larry H. Miller Auto Dealerships and Charles Moran. This is a tough day for some people to get around parts of the valley.
Well, just on the east side of the valley, you can get a map on KSL.com that tells you exactly where the marathon route is, so you can avoid any kind of delays. But right now, good traffic speeds up and down the Wasatch Front. We've had no problems on Salt Lake freeways. The surface streets are doing pretty well, and no problems in Davis and Utah counties. Charles Moran in the KSL Traffic Center.
Well, it is a cool day, only looking for a high of 55 degrees today with those showers tapering off. But tomorrow, if you come in and get all the products you need, tomorrow you can spend some time outdoors. 62 degrees with nice sunshine, 53 degrees on Monday, but the clouds are back, and then nice sunshine Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Right now in downtown Salt Lake City, 47 degrees.
Dial now to get the help you need with your plants inside and out. Call KSL Talk. That's 575-8255 to get KSL News Radio.
Maria Shalaya sitting in for Tim Hughes today along with Tom Bettis. And let's get right to your calls before we run out of time here. Let's go to, we have Evan in Spanish Fork. And Evan, what can we help you with?
Hi there. I have a couple of peach trees in my backyard. And I noticed the other day a large gelatinous mass that seemed to be growing at the base of one of the trunks. So I went and I prodded it, and it came away pretty easily. It was about an inch and a half thick and about the size of my hand. And so I cleaned it up from the tree, but I'm really not sure what could have caused it.
I have noticed that in the past, and I need to ask a couple of questions. First, do you have all the grass pulled away from the edge of the tree?
No, the grass was growing right up to the tree.
And have you had any vole problems at all?
Any mole problems?
Vole. They look like little mice, and they will go through and tear up your lawn. They dig channels and eat the roots off of your turf in the winter under the snow. And so you see these little race tracks and trails all over your lawn. Did you see any of that this year?
Yeah, we haven't had any voles in our yard, but some people across the street have a field that borders their backyard, and they've had vole problems in the past.
I've seen voles chew on the bottoms of trees, especially when the grass is in direct contact, and I've also seen these gelatinous masses form from a couple of other things. One is weed whacker damage. You get sap flow, and the sap kind of just pushes out right there and does that. The voles can chew on the base of the trunk, but also if you have a little bit too much soil around the base of that trunk, sometimes the actual trunk will rot and cause some of that. And then you can also get a few different cankers in there. Unfortunately, none of these things you can do much about. Dig the grass away from the base of the tree at least 18 inches around, so you have a good 2.5-3 foot wide circle of bare ground. And let that trunk dry out, and then just keep an eye on it. Was the whole trunk girdled, or did it just come out from one side?
It was just one side.
Okay. The one other thing that it could have been are borers. And at this point, there's nothing you can do about that either. You subscribe to the USU Pest Lab updates, and that's at utahpests.usu.edu. And go to the IPM, I and then Peter and Mary, and go to that section, and you can subscribe to the fruit tree updates, and they will tell you when to start spraying and what products are available for the peach tree borer, because that's the other possibility that it could be.
Okay, great.
Thank you for your call this morning.
Thank you.
Let's go to South Ogden, and that's where we find Jan. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning. I have a big dumpster out on my driveway, and was planning on doing a whole awful lot of cleanup today, and I've got 4 questions regarding that. If we take care of most of the part that's on the outside, like of the trees and things, and wait for the roots, am I going to be paying for that later on? Because I don't really want a lot of wheels and things on my wet yard.
So I apologize, I misunderstand a little bit. So you have the potential for vehicles to be driving all over your lawn due to a cleanup?
That was partially the plan, taking them out with a chain, but I don't want to do that because it's all so wet.
You have a situation here too. We have some advantages and disadvantages. With wetter soil, it'll be a little easier to pull those roots out, but as you mentioned, those tires will sink in more deeply, and you're going to somehow have to remedy compacted soil where the tire tracks were. So the ideal time, especially, I should ask also, what is your soil like? Is it clay, sand?
Clay.
So if it's true clay, that's the easiest type of soil to damage, and the best time to drive on clay is when it's relatively dry and more resistant to compaction. And so if you're extremely wet, if you were to walk on the bare soil and put a 2 or 3 inch footprint in there and get it all over you, it's not suitable right now for vehicles or tractors, and you'd need to wait until it's a bit drier to do that.
So I've got a number of bushes that are so overgrown. I have a 60-year-old property. I'm just getting to the outside of it. So I've been working on the inside. So I've got laurels and fitzers and euonymus, and I just need to get some of it at least trimmed back then.
You could try, and I don't know how practical it is, but you could try putting down some sort of sheeting like OSB that they build the houses with, or plywood, something you could drive on to prevent the compaction.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you could get a long enough chain or rope, a thick enough strap that you could drive on the driveway or other drier areas to try to pull out, you could do that also.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Sounds like a big job you've got there. Good luck. And you were listening to the KSL Greenhouse Show, coming to you from the open house at Staker Parson Landscape Center. Come out and join us. Have a hot dog, bring the kids, and make some rock creatures. We're at 2350 South and 19th West in West Haven. We'll be back following the news.
This week, our teacher feature salute is for Mary Hall at Wasatch Elementary School. The Bryants tell us our son has had a rough go and was a year behind the rest of his class. Previous teachers tried to help to no avail. He was so frustrated he would throw his homework in the trash on the way out of the school doors. Over the summer, the boundaries changed and we were moved to Wasatch Elementary and Mrs. Hall. She informed us she would get him back on track and devised a plan and got to work.
All of a sudden, he was coming home with a smile on his face, and I've seen unbelievable improvement in his attitude and his academic ability. She has restored my faith in the public school system and is proof positive one teacher really can make a difference in someone else's life. Congratulations, Mary Hall at Wasatch Elementary. She receives a plaque from Zion's Bank, an overnight stay at the Anniversary Inn, dinner for two at the Roof Restaurant downtown, two season passes to Hale Center Theater, and she's eligible to win the 2-year lease of a new Nissan provided by Burt Brothers Tire and Service.
Celebrate Earth Day on April 22nd. As Dave's Bernina joins the Bernina Company and millions of people worldwide in helping preserve a clean and healthy environment. During April 18th through the 22nd, Dave's Bernina in St. George and Provo will be offering 4 years no-interest financing on select Bernina models until 2017. See store for details.
Dave's Bernina, serving Utah County since 1960. Father and sons, a family business. Let's ask Richard Borgett more about it.
We service all brands. Any machine that you're frustrated with and you feel like used to work great, but it's just not the same anymore, then bring it in and we'll help you. I think it's time to come look at a Bernina. See how sewing can be fun again.
Free classes and a warranty with every new and used Bernina purchase. 268 West Center Street in Provo and at the corner of 7th East and St. George Boulevard. Check us out at Twitter, Facebook, and davesbernina.com.
NutriMulch reminds you that the First Amendment to your soil's constitution should always be NutriMulch. You see, without this important amendment, you would never get to the Second Amendment, which is the right to bear arms full of produce away from your garden to protect your family's security. NutriMulch gives us all the freedom from progressive soil deterioration. NutriMulch gives us the freedom to use less water. NutriMulch provides freedom to be more productive. E Pluribus NutriMulch. NutriMulch is available at all independent nurseries, hardware garden centers, the Home Depot, and at IFA country stores. See NutriMulch.com. Old MacDonald had some ground with Nutra-Nutra-Mulch, and in that ground he plants some seeds with Nutra-Nutra-Mulch. With a strong plant here and a strong plant there, here a plant, there a plant, everywhere a strong plant. Now Old MacDonald has a farm with Nutra-Nutra-Mulch. Nutri-Mulch is available at all independent nurseries, hardware garden centers, the Home Depot, and at IFA country stores. See Nutri-Mulch.com.